Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, David Snyder, CPA, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And a chilly night it's going to be for Halloween this week for a little ghosts and goblins. And if you are the adults who want to see something really spooky, the scariest movie ever made will be screening tomorrow night, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. and only $5 at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley and the Harkins 6 in Sedona. It's The Exorcist, the director's cut. If you've not seen the director's cut, there's about 6 minutes of additional footage that was cut out of the original, and there's a couple of scenes in that missing footage that will make your skin absolutely crawl. And no, I'm not going to tip you off as to what it is or when it is, but this is the scariest film ever made. It's also in my top five of the best movies ever made, The Exorcist. If you've never seen it on the big screen where it's supposed to be seen, take the chance tomorrow night. Drop $5 at 7 o'clock. Don't be late, at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley and the Harkins 6 in Sedona. Well, on non-Halloween matters, on today's show, I'm going to chat with Lynn Cloward of In Your Space Consulting. She is the next guest speaker on the Senior Connection lineup, our friend Debbie Stewart's service. She'll be talking about eliminating household and workplace clutter. And also, after the bottom of the hour news and weather, we will talk with political consultant Michael Barone. He's got a new book called How Political Parties Change and How They Don't. I just spoke to Michael this morning. It's a fascinating interview, very, very candid and very balanced, too, I might add. Well, the World Series, of course, returns tomorrow to Houston, where the Astros will enjoy home field disadvantage. This is only the third time, by the way, in World Series history that the first five games of the series were won by the visiting team. Maybe the Astros should hole up in a Houston hotel for game six like the visiting teams do and maybe see if that works. You know, with the news we've been seeing out of California, you know, California has always kind of gone its own way, and nature works in mysterious ways. So does California. It was proved again today. Well, the news from the Hollywood Reporter magazine, which covers all aspects, especially the business aspect of Hollywood, they report that screenings of the new movie Terminator Dark Fate are being postponed at many California theaters because of the wildfire-endangered areas, while at the very same time, a Disney-owned cable network called Freeform, they decided to pick today to announce they're launching a new TV series based on, are you ready? Dante's Inferno. Way to go, guys. Great timing. Hey, speaking of showbiz, a true giant in show business has died. Robert Evans, he started his entertainment career as a kind of a pretty boy actor. He was discovered by Norma Shearer. He rose in the studio ranks to running Paramount Studios at age 36. He green-lighted such classics as The Godfather, Rosemary's Baby, Chinatown. He became the star of a book and documentary about his great life in Hollywood titled The Kid Stays in the Picture. And after being demoted at Paramount in a reshuffling when Barry Diller took over, Evans still produced movies like Marathon Man, Black Sunday, and Urban Cowboy for Paramount. And you know, all his life he was in the tabloids because he was always surrounded by beautiful women, many of whom, of course, he employed in his studio's movies, but not with much marital success. Robert Evans was married 7 times. His wives included Love Story star Ally McGraw, Catherine Oxenberg from ABC's Dynasty, and former Miss America Phyllis George. But none of his marriages lasted more than 3 years. His marriage to Oxenberg lasted a little more than a week. And Ally McGraw left Robert Evans after an affair with Steve McQueen that began on the set of the movie The Getaway. Robert Evans was 89. If you really want to see the stars come out, attend his funeral, because anybody who's anybody in Hollywood will be there. And I saw Robert Evans in 2011 at the former Grauman's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard with TCM host Robert Osborne plus Robert Towne, the screenwriter for Chinatown. They were on stage at Grauman's Chinese Theater for about a half hour talking about the making of Chinatown just before they screened it for the crowd as part of TCM's Classic Movie Festival. So a real showbiz giant is gone. Robert Evans at 89. Hey, we've got Lynn Clower just around the corner, ready to talk about getting rid of all that clutter on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live at kqna.com. Don't go away.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hey everybody, it's Sanford Cohen. Join me along with Mike and the Doctor every Friday afternoon at 4 for Let's Talk Sports right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Tune in for all the latest sports news, interviews, and all kinds of fun stuff. It's right here on KQ&A. See you Friday.
Pros like you know trusted brands have a hand in helping you nail the job. Start with Lowe's, where you'll find those brands and savings too. Stop in today and pick up a new Metabo HPT 1¾-inch 15-degree pneumatic roofing nailer for $20 less, now $269. And get a new DeWalt Tough Grip 52-piece steel hex shank screwdriver bit set for just $14.98, saving you $5. For even more ways Lowe's saves your business money, stop by the Pro Desk and talk to our dedicated Pro Team today. Whatever you need to get the job done, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 11/6, U.S. only.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions and City, an equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 209, Lynn Cloward. Am I pronouncing that right, Lynn Cloward?
Yes,
Cloward. Lynn Cloward is joining us. Tell us about In Your Space Consulting.
In Your Space Consulting focuses on personal organization and decluttering, and I'm a senior move manager, so I help the baby boomers and seniors downsize and help with their move, where I pack and I help them with the moving process, the unpacking, and then also settling them with all the decor and the pictures and hanging all that up. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop.
I like the term the senior moving consultant because I worked in radio and the restaurant business for a long time, both of which are very high turnover, I have moved 29 times. And I assume you come across some people who have been in the same home for maybe 40 years. How difficult is it for them to let some stuff go?
It's very difficult. Most of the items that people have a memory attached to them. And so when they're looking at a book of grease, they're not saying this is just a book of Greece. They're remembering where they
and
went.
And you're saying G-R-E-E-C-E, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If it was the other kind, you'd be looking at my books.
Yeah.
The History of White Castle.
Yeah, yes. No mechanic books.
Indeed. So, and how do you help them prepare for the move?
We focus on baby steps. We sometimes, if someone knows they're going to move within a year, we take a lot of time, and I spend like each week with them where we focus on one area at a time. But many times it's an emergency move, and that's where I need to go in, and I need to say, what are the essentials that need to go? Where are they going? And then we deal with moving them first, then we go back and deal with all the other stuff that's left in the house.
I had a home builder from Stone Ridge on here last week, and I always ask him and realtors the same question, so I'll now ask it of you. What has been the impact in your business on, say, HGTV? Does it make everybody watching a sudden expert on this stuff?
Actually, I haven't noticed that impact at all, because I don't know if it's a generation I work with that's not really watching the HGTV, or they're coming to me with help of, it's kind of like deer in the headlights, paralyzed. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do I do? I'm not happy. I have all this stuff. I close the doors and out of sight, out of mind.
So how'd you get started in this business?
You know, I was a corporate event planner when I was in the corporate world, and I helped my grandparents a lot with moving and transitions and then dementia. And so between the two items, I kind of, when I moved to Prescott here, I said, what is the demographics of this area? And the business and tourism and the senior community are basically it, and that's my strong point. So it was a perfect fit for me.
You know, you mentioned in case of moving seniors, you mentioned dementia. That's something a lot of us have to deal with. Boy, how difficult is that when you're going through things and perhaps you're not really able to verbalize how important something is to them?
With dementia, a lot of the different phases are they go in and out of states. And when I'm working with someone, I'm working with them over a longer period of time sometimes. If I'm not, I've got family members typically that are, if not local, are on the phone with me describing what's important to their loved one. And so I take a lot of those listening factors in, anything to do with family or any kind of memorabilia that has to do with something important like that. I always take that into account during a move.
How often do you see the husband and wife bickering over, that's going with us? No, it's going out the door.
About 50% of the time.
I figured that.
Or the right in front of me, you know, they're kind of in a disagreement. And so I kind of say, you know what? Why don't I step out of the room and have a minute to talk?
Figure it out.
Exactly.
Oh, indeed. Now, our buddy Debbie Stewart with the Senior Connection is putting you on the hot seat coming up, I believe, Thursday, right?
Yes, this Thursday.
What exactly will you be discussing?
My topic on Thursday is year-end decluttering, making more room for happiness. And so it's getting that mental baggage of clutter out of your mind and starting to focus on getting it out so that you can free your mind and free your emotions for happiness.
When you mention clutter and happiness in the same sentence, some people are going to think, oh, Marie Kondo, what has she done for this business?
I actually think she's done a lot. Her whole philosophy is, if it doesn't make you happy, get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of am on the same mind.
Honey, don't listen to that. So,
exactly. I'm on the same mind.
Even Lindsay's laughing at that one, but go ahead.
I do believe that clutter does weigh people down, and more than often when I go into a household with a lot of clutter, people say to me, they are so happy I'm there. And when I say to them, our goal is to do X, Y, and Z and get rid of this by the end of my visit today, they're like, oh, I don't think that'll ever happen. And then when they do, they're like so appreciative. It's wonderful.
You know, this is kind of a strange analogy, but I think it brings its center on this topic. Back in 1990, I believe it was, I had a really bad fire in my home. And, there was so much, it was just terrible. But a weird thing happened about a year later. I realized, you know what? Most of that stuff that burned up, I really don't miss it. And as hard, because there was some very important stuff burned up that I never wanted to lose. But there were an awful lot of things I found out the hard way I can do without. Do you find people going through that? I had no idea that I wouldn't miss this that much.
I do. And then when I come back the next time, they have such a positive attitude about getting started again and getting rid of more stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's the initial first step of getting started. It's like a baby step that once they take that baby step, the next time I come, they're just feel much freer, happier, get ready to get rid of stuff.
Plus, it gives you more living space. Now, what happens to people who are downsizing from a great big family home to a much smaller domicile, and they got a lot to get rid of?
I have that happen all the time. Mm-hmm. I got a call today with something like that. Yeah,
and you'll get more after this show too.
So a lot of times what we do is we go through and we mark what are the essentials of going and what size space are they going into.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus on a floor plan for that, for the stuff that they want to put into their new spot to make sure that it will all fit before we move it.
Yep.
And then based upon that, we do different categories of how we can eliminate the stuff that's left in the house. You know, estate sales. Sometimes we're holding on to things for other family members that need to go to the family members right away.
Yeah.
We need to donate. You know, we need to dispose of something. So it's kind of, we go through and we do a step-by-step process.
Do you ever see people who have had some family heirlooms for a long time and they say, well, I'm leaving this to my sister, my will. Well, give it to her now.
Exactly. That's kind of when you have a lot of stuff in your house that's really you already have for those people. My first question to the people is, are you sure they want that?
Oh, good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Because if you're holding on to it and you're cluttering up your house for them and they don't even want it and they're going to dispose of it, then what's the point?
Sure. Are there certain cluttering types you've come across?
Yes, there's like three main types, I'd say. The people that are too busy or they have too many extras. So they're going, they say, oh, where is that super glue? And they say, you know, they go look through the house for it or something, but they don't really want to take the time, so they just go buy more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just quicker and easier to buy more.
Sure, sure. Now, what are some of the tricks that you help people get better organized?
I'll just give an example of the kitchen gadgets, because most people have, three drawers of, different utensils and things like that. So one of my ideas that I've come up with that seems to work well is where you put it into a cardboard box, and over the next month, as you use it, you put it back into the drawer. At the end of the month, you see how many utensils you have left in that box and how often you're really using them. You'll mm-hmm. see that more than likely, you haven't even used half that box of stuff.
Now, I had a friend many years ago who would probably be a master at what you were doing. What she would do, now this sounds kind of really, really anal retentive, but she amassed literally a notebook where she had every single thing in the house listed and where it should be. And she always made sure it went back there. Of course, after a while, it becomes habit. But I always thought, well, it's nice to know all that. Plus, if it would really come in handy in case there was a fire, you could report everything where it was. But the thing is, how important is it to find a place for everything and keep everything in its place to avoid unnecessary clutter?
I think it's very important. Like, when we do our dishes, we know the fork goes into the silverware drawer. So we don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
If we have a place that we know our mail's going to go or where our charitable cause donation requests are going to go, if we have a place for everything, then we're not having the clutter pile up on the kitchen counter, by the front door, you know, on the closet bottom of, you know, just at the bottom of your closet. So
yeah.
I think it's real important that every place, everything has a place.
Did you just describe some locations that are clutter magnets?
Absolutely.
Just look in the bottom of the closet. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the silverware drawers and knick-knack drawers and stuff like that. Oh, my goodness.
And garage.
Oh, my goodness, the garage. Yeah. Or the basement. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't have too many basements here, do we? Here in Northern Arizona.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that is kind
really.
Of odd. Well, let me ask you this. How do you help somebody focus and get started when they may say, you know, this is kind of overwhelming? You mentioned the baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm. So usually what I do is when I get a call is I have a one-hour free consultation where mm-hmm. I go out and they describe what they want and what their goals are. And then we come up with a game plan together and we take the baby steps. So if we're focusing on the garage, for instance, we look at, okay, what are we going to accomplish? We're going to set a time, a date, how long we're going to do it, and at the end of the day, what we want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's what I would suggest people to do is set their own time frames of how long do they want to focus on it, because they do get paralyzed by the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So if they focus on, okay, today I'm only going to do X, Y, and Z, this part of the closet, so they can see success at the end of it.
How often do you work with people in the kitchen? You look in the pantry and you see cereal boxes that have been there for 10 years and canned goods that the labels are turning yellow, and you have to go, do you really want to eat this? Look how old it is.
Anything that's expired and date code is disposed of.
Yeah.
It's not safe to eat, and I don't think anyone would want to eat it.
Yeah. You know, I used to listen to a radio guy in my hometown who would do food drives. And, he it's for, non-perishable canned goods mostly. He'd say, and don't bring us your 9-year-old cans of Hearts of Palm. You won't eat it, and neither will they.
Okay, so exactly.
Good advice there. So how can people learn more about In Your Space Consulting and make an appointment with you?
They can go to my website, www.inyourspaceaz.com. Mm-hmm. They can call my business number at 928-985-1172. And this Thursday, I'm going to be speaking actually at the Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 1202 Green Lane in Prescott, Arizona at 12 noon.
Very good. And that's on behalf of our buddy Debbie Stewart, right?
Yes.
Say hello to Debbie when you see her. And thank you for joining us today on Q&A. We've learned a great deal, and I got to straighten up my office. I may bring you in for that. Make sure you wear your hazmat suit. That is Lynn Cloward from In Your Space Consulting. Stay tuned, because we're going to take a check of local and state news and weather in just a moment, and then a really in-depth discussion with a political expert. You're going to enjoy his new book. His name is Michael Barone. A lot to learn from him. That's coming up on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live at kqna.com.
To the incredible response, Cash for Clunkers has been extended at Lamb Nissan. Hello, this is Ed Walsh. We'll give you a minimum of $2,500 for your trade towards any new or used purchase, even if you have to push it, pull it, or tow it in. No money down? Your clunker is your down payment. If you have an old car sitting around, now's the time to turn it into cash. Bothered by past credit problems? Don't worry. We're experts at arranging financing. Our finance department has built long-time relationships with lenders that can help you get into a newer, more reliable vehicle. Don't wait another day to rebuild your credit. Remember, time doesn't repair credit. Only credit repairs credit. So don't waste another minute. Dust off that old clunker and turn it into cash during Lamb Nissan's Cash for Clunkers, going on now. Go to lambnissan.com to find your new or used vehicle and come see why so many people come from Phoenix to buy a car in Prescott. Lamb Nissan, we're here to serve.
Conditions may apply. OAC, see dealer for details. Offer expires 10/31/19.
Gardening in the mountains can be challenging. For local tips and tricks, tune into The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane.
This week we have fall colored trees. So we've stocked up. There's so many fresh new autumn colored trees, but there's so many choices. Which ones bring out the best autumn color? You're going to be a fall colored pro after this week's show.
The Mountain Gardener, three times every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday at 8 in the mornings, and again at 11 on Saturdays, on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
Hello, it's Natasha from the Girly Street Grill, and before you know it, the holidays are going to be here. Prescott is full of Christmastime festivities, and the grill is the best place to help make your holiday gathering extra special. We have three private party rooms upstairs that will host 30 to 150 people, and a variety of buffet menus for you to choose from. We can help you customize your event and make your company party or family gathering the most memorable holiday party it can be. Call us today, 445-3388, and let's get planning. The Girly Street Grill, 230 West Girly in downtown Prescott. View our full menu online at girlystreetgrill.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Mm-hmm.
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. In today's polarized political climate, we have just a book for you. It's How America's Political Parties Change and How They Don't. And the author is Michael Barone. Michael, why did you write How America's Political Parties Change and How They Don't?
Well, I've been watching, writing about, participating in, analyzing American politics for a long time now, about a half a century, and I hear all this apocalyptic talk about how we've never faced greater difficulties, greater risks, greater animosity before, and I thought I would share some of my perspective on the longer run of American history, because one of my takes and one of the major arguments in the book is that we have very old political parties. Democratic Party founded in 1832, Republican Party founded in 1854. That's 165 years ago. And those parties have proven to be resilient, adaptable, and at the same time to have an enduring institutional character. So I thought I'd share some of my ideas here with a view of urging my fellow citizens to calm down just a little.
You know, with the amount of money that is spent from donors in both of the traditional parties, is there any room for a third party? As I recall, the last serious third party candidate was John Anderson.
Well, John Anderson, you also had Ross Perot in the 1990s, entering the race, being competitive and polling with Bill Clinton and George Bush for a while, then getting out of the race, getting back in at the beginning of the October and ending up with 19% of the vote. That's a pretty strong showing for a third-party candidate, a man who started off as a well-known celebrity with some views, some public career involved. But Donald Trump, a well-known celebrity with some commentary on public issues, well-known, decided to get in this race in 2016 as a Republican, even though he'd been given a lot of money to the Democratic Party. And I think that shows a judgment about the strength of the parties. So it's they continue to be strong, and I think they are particularly suited to a country that has always been diverse. It didn't just get diverse yesterday. We've been diverse since British colonial days.
Mm-hmm. You know, prior to the November 2016 election, so many pundits were predicting an easy Hillary Clinton win and the demise of the Republican Party. And now, with Trump heading up the Republican Party, they're predicting the demise of a Democratic Party. Why do they get so hysterical about this?
Well, I suppose one reason is that if you're a professional pundit, and I guess I've been one for a while, you can't write the same thing every week. So there's a premium on novelty, on saying something new and different. And you always want to be the first one to spot a development that turns out to occur, even if the demise of the two major parties has not occurred in 187 and 165 years, and at times when they have faced much stronger challenges than they faced in the last 25 or 30 years.
You mentioned in your book how the Democrats almost were extinct in 1920 and the Republicans in 1932, but they both rebounded to be competitive. Do you believe Donald Trump will leave the Republican Party stronger or weaker?
Well, I think he'll leave the Republican Party probably about as strong as it has been. He won an election, which in 2016, after Mitt Romney lost in 2012, he got roughly the same percentage of the vote. But the stronger with some groups of the electorate, weaker with others. We've been in a period since the beginning of the 90s where the two parties have been really competitive, where mm-hmm. we've had no presidential candidates got more than 53% of the vote. Republican Party has won majorities in the House of Representatives in most elections. The Democratic Party has won more presidential elections than the Republican Party. But it's something like the 1870s, 1880s of polarized partisan parity between the two parties. It's pretty easy these days to predict how 40 to 45 of the states will vote in many presidential elections. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty difficult to predict who will win.
In your experience, what are the essential characteristics of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party?
Well, the Republican Party since 1854 has always been centered on a core constituency of people who are thought to be typical Americans, but who by themselves are not the majority. This was the New England Yankees spread across the Midwest in 1850s. It is white married Christians today. They're thought of as typical. They're not the majority. The Democratic Party has always been a coalition of outgroups of peoples who are seen as not being typical Americans, but who joined together can be a national majority. When they got internal disputes, they look like an internally, a circular firing squad. But the Democratic, both parties are capable of winning a majority, and both parties are capable of finding a home, a political home, mm-hmm. a political means for the large majority of people in what has always been a culturally, religiously, regionally, economically, ethnically, a diverse country.
What do you think are some of the unfair characterizations made by the other side of each opposing party?
You've asked me a question that would take another hours and hours to answer. The fact is that an adversarial election system does not put a premium on describing accurately members of candidates of the other side. Mm-hmm. I suppose you can say that if you really can insult them in ways that ring true, that can be a winner. Donald Trump would say that his characterization of crooked Hillary would be one such example. Democrats would deny that that's a fair example. So it's one you can argue about. The fact is that your test of accuracy is going to be failed on many such occasions. But the people, I think, ultimately have to be the judge. I mean, I thought it was very interesting last week, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and controlling shareholder of Facebook, mm-hmm. made the point that a tech company like Facebook shouldn't be deciding which political speech is accurate and which is not, and shouldn't get in the business of banning political speech that it denies, that it decides is not accurate. He says that, in this kind of a democratic republic with freedom of speech, that decision should be made by the voters, by the consumers, by the readers, by people who can experience all, if they wish, all the political dialogue and make their own decisions about what's fair and honest. And I would borrow from my own experience as a political consultant some years ago that the accurate charge is more effective politically than the inaccurate charge. You risk being unbelievable when you make inaccurate charges. Whereas, if you say something that's really accurate, it can hurt the other side pretty badly.
Now, the title of your book, of course, is How America's Political Parties Change and How They Don't. So in your experience, how have they changed and how have they not?
Well, they've changed in a lot of ways. I've got chapters in this book about how the liberals disappeared from the Republican Party, conservatives disappeared from the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. This was something that Franklin D. Roosevelt advocated. The political scientists of the 1950s said we'd be better off with one clearly liberal party, one clearly conservative party. We've got that today, and of course, the political scientists of day say that's just awful with terrible polarization and so forth. Just shows you can't pin political scientists down. The Democratic Party had a lot of conservatives, many of whom were Southerners, and were still voting on the basis of the Civil War. I mean, you know, Georgia was John F. Kennedy's number two state in 1960. Why was that? Well, they were still angry that Sherman marched his Union troops through Georgia only 96 years before. They were still voting on the basis of old issues because the Civil War had such a huge impact on people's lives. In time, those issues were replaced by other issues like military intervention, like cultural issues like abortion, and most voters in Georgia took the conservative position on those issues and ended up supporting the Republican primary most of the time in recent years. Liberal Republicans, why were they liberal if they favored some big government New Deal type measures? Well, one reason is they thought the Democratic Party's urban political machines were corrupt, its labor union supporters were violent and coercive, and that the Southern segregationist governors prevented Democrats from supporting equal rights to the extent that the liberal Republicans thought was a good idea. That was the case in 1960 when you had Republican liberals like Nelson Rockefeller opposing John F. Kennedy. By 20 years later, the segregationist governors had gone. There wasn't anybody really that was a segregationist anymore. The urban big city machines had crumbled to a considerable extent, and the labor unions had much smaller memberships. And the political heirs of Nelson Rockefeller, including his nephew Jay Rockefeller, decided to become Democrats. No reason to stay in the Republican Party anymore.
How do you feel about pundits who say the battle no longer is our guy versus their guy, but get the vote out?
Well, there's a lot to say for that. You have people are voting straight ticket party lines these days over the last 15 or 20 years to a much greater extent than they did in the 1960s and 70s and early 80s. So that makes a certain amount of sense. Identify the people that are going to vote your side and then make sure that they vote. That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense to try to mobilize those people and enthuse them. That can make the difference in an election. But there's still, is a role for persuasion, a role for trying to convince people who are ambivalent between the two parties, who find both parties' candidates to be attractive, or, as seems to be the case more often these days, both parties' candidates unattractive. Sometimes I watch the current political environment, and I say, as I did in 2016, both parties seem to be doing a good job of trying to lose this election. I think you can make an argument about that today. But I think mobilizing people, getting them out to vote, remains very important. When you look at Donald Trump winning crucial electoral votes, 20 in Pennsylvania, 16 in Michigan, 10 in Wisconsin, 46 electoral votes by less than 1% of turnout, those narrow margins suggest that getting people out to vote in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio, and Wisconsin was essential to electing Donald Trump the 45th president.
Michael, when I visited the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum, I learned that Reagan was a Democrat who became Republican. He was a union man, president of Screen Actors Guild, who became a company man. And famously, while he was in the White House, he would fight like cats and dogs with Tip O'Neill during the day. Then they played gin rummy that night. Are those days over?
I don't see Nancy Pelosi playing gin rummy with Donald Trump. And I think the kind of friendship between Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill has been exaggerated somewhat. They had their amicable meetings, but they were not very close friends. Reagan didn't really have very close friends. It's an interesting, his idea of a fun evening was spending it with his wife Nancy, holding her hand on the couch and watching an old movie on television.
Sure.
I think that there's a lot of, you know, discord between the politicians. There's, but also there are some people that managed to penetrate through this and to evoke favorable impressions from other people. The late Congressman Elijah Cummings, who died earlier this month, Democrat from Baltimore, Maryland, an aggressive committee chairman or ranking minority member, nonetheless had some strong Republican friends that he worked with and often against. Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, former congressman, Republican. Mark Meadows of North Carolina, Republican. The tributes that they paid to him, I think, were heartfelt. You don't hear them about some other people when they pass away. It shows that somebody who has a strong character can make friends across the party lines. It's the exception, however, and not the rule.
In your book, you mentioned the outstate Midwest and how crucial they were to Donald Trump's 2016 electoral triumph. What exactly is the outstate Midwest, and how does that trend politically for next year's election?
Well, I use the term outstate Midwest to refer to those parts of the Midwestern states which are outside metropolitan areas with a population of a million or more. And, you know, one way to analyze the country is to separate it into those major metro areas, million or more, and the rest of the country. It splits the country down almost exactly 50-50. Half of us live in million-plus metro areas. Half of us don't. If you look at votes that changed from 2012 to 2016, and you look where those votes came, were most frequent, largest percent proportions, it's the outstate Midwest, areas that had voted Democratic for past Democrats, gave Hillary Clinton very, very few votes.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump did significantly better, particularly in some of those outstate areas that had lost blue-collar industry and so forth than earlier Republicans. The outstate Midwest has a smaller percentage of college graduates than do the major metro areas where the bulk of college graduates end up moving and making their livings. And so Trump made his gains among white non-college voters in these areas, including some of the places in outstate Midwest that include people who were, you know, retired labor union leaders or people that came from labor union families and had a heritage of voting Democratic. They voted against Mitt Romney, who was the son of an auto company CEO in 2012. Those people moved in large numbers to Donald Trump in 2016. And the other thing, I think, the factor that works for Trump what I call outstate Midwest, is that this is an honesty belt. This is an area where the small towns and rural areas, there's a resentment still of big city machine politics, corruption, big money changing place. The people in these areas have a low tolerance for corruption. The outstate Midwest trended heavily against the Republican Party during the Watergate crisis. You may remember that when Gerry Ford was confirmed to be Nixon's second vice president, in his congressional district, the solidly Republican district for many years in Grand Rapids, Michigan, came up. It was won by a Democrat, as were a number of other outstate Midwest districts. This was an indicator indication that opinion was moving strongly against Nixon on the impeachment issue. Mm-hmm. What we saw in 2016 in the outstate Midwest was that Hillary Clinton's low reputation for honesty and trustworthiness. Nationwide, only about 32% of the voters said she was honest and trustworthy. That worked for her generally nationally, but I think the impact was especially strong in the outstate Midwest, a territory that always distrusted corruption and concealment of politically pertinent misconduct. And I think that worked heavily against Hillary Clinton's candidacy.
When you mentioned rural versus urban areas in the Midwest, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I was always amused that during election season, politicians running for statewide office, when they were in St. Louis or in Kansas City, they pronounced it Missouri. But when they're doing the small towns, it's Missouri.
Yeah, well, that's right. The Harry Truman's home state, let me just call it that,
sure,
is the only state I know that has two generally recognized pronunciations,
yeah,
in standard Midwestern English,
sure,
depending whether you're in the St. Louis media market or, yeah, not. With St. Louis media market is about 37% of the state.
The name of the book is How America's Political Parties Change and How They Don't. The author who we're speaking to is Michael Barone. How can our listeners get a copy of your books and learn more about you?
Well, you can go to EncounterBooks.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and I would be grateful if you buy a copy of the book. And it's relatively short, but we go through a lot of history, and maybe it will help you amid all this political turbulence to calm down just a little.
And we strongly recommend the book. We thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you for having me.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
A friendly, cozy atmosphere. Mediterranean specials offered daily paired with our amazing wine selection. The setting is Carmela's. It's like coming home. This is Jennifer, and Kevin and I would like to invite you to experience our cuisine. At Carmela's, we are dedicated to creating a unique, memorable dining experience. Whether you choose veal salt and boca, fresh fish, chia pina, or the arugula salad with goat cheese. And as a grand finale, Carmela's in-house pastries and desserts are sinfully delicious, made daily. You don't want to miss live music every Monday. Join us for the hottest dining right here on Montezuma in downtown Prescott.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQ&A. Coyotes hockey brought to you by Yavapai Plumbing and Heating, Prescott Dirt, Nazaire, Country Bank, Moyers Heating and Cooling, Prescott Dental Center, and Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling.
He'll shoot! He scores!
The Arizona Coyotes visit the Buffalo Sabres Monday at 4 on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.
Autumn means football, chili cook-offs, hunting and fishing trips, brilliantly colored landscapes, crisp evenings, perfect for warm campfires, mugs of hot cocoa, and flannel sheets. This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV. And if you're ready to trade in boredom and stress for excitement and relaxation, surrounded by all the fantastic sights, sounds, smells, and activities of fall, go RVing. Plan your fall getaway today and start with a trip to Affinity RV, where you can choose from the latest 2020 models, new 2019s, with special dealer and factory incentives, pre-owned RVs, then a few RVs below dealer cost remaining on Red Tag Row. Seize the day for as little as $3.88 a day. Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, bringing family and lifestyle together for generations of family fun, and proud to be named one of the top five elite Blue Ribbon RV dealers in the U.S. and Canada. Located on Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley, or online anytime at affinityrv.com.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Monday the 28th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach and Volk. Tempe Police and the FBI continue investigating the theft of an armored truck.
That theft took place outside of a Tempe Costco, but the armored car was later found nearby. No one was inside, but the money, it's all gone. If you feel you can help solve this case, call the FBI or Silent Witness at 480-WITNESS. Barbara Villa, Arizona News Radio.
It's going to be a cold Halloween night in the Prescott area.
Temperatures are expected to drop around 28 degrees Thursday night following a couple of cold fronts that are moving into Arizona this week.
I do recommend that all the kids wear jackets.
National Weather Service meteorologist James Sawtell says temperatures are expected to warm up heading into the weekend. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Sunny and chilly for back to work with a nighttime freeze warning. Very windy tomorrow and Wednesday, but a beautiful weekend comes along with highs around 54 today and Tuesday. Only 45 for your high Wednesday. In Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, overnight lows dropping to near 28 tonight, as low as 20 late Wednesday night before the weekend warm-up. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, up to a sunny 61 today, a breezy 65 tomorrow, blowing in Wednesday's chilly high of only 55. Late night lows around 34 tonight, 27 by late Wednesday night. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQNA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, you heard me talk at the start of the show about the Exorcist director's cut showing tomorrow night at the Harkins 14. Well, don't forget the musical Mondays. Those conclude tonight with the presentation of Les Miserables. That was the 2012 musical that featured a Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, Russell Crowe. Yeah, Russell Crowe can't sing. Otherwise, really, really good movie. This movie is unusual in another respect. Normally, when you see an actor singing in a movie, they've recorded him or her singing in a studio, and they just dub it in wherever the actor happens to be. He's not really making any sound on the site. However, in this case, they recorded them singing right there where they were during that scene. So something really unusual, but it was nominated for a lot of Oscars, and it won the Best Supporting Actress for Anne Hathaway. So that's Les Mis tonight at 7 o'clock, only $5 at the Harkins Theaters. Stay tuned. I've got tomorrow's Q&A guests and some final thoughts coming your way on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com.
Start it up. Keep it up. That's the way the world works. So when you just need it to work, Batteries Plus Bulbs backs you up with your neighborhood's largest selection of Batteries Plus Bulbs, plus phone repair, plus key fobs, to do everything we can to power your cars, phones, watches, motorcycles, boats, flashlights, golf carts, lawnmowers, and light your homes. Finding and fixing with the know-how you need right now. Power up at your local Batteries Plus Bulb store or at batteriesplus.com.
Chain the lock.
Your valuables protected in a fireproof safe and money in your pocket. That's an unbeatable combination during the safe sale going on now at Norm's Lock and Safe. The lowest prices of the season on Liberty Safes now at Norm's. Liberty Safe starting as low as $5.99. It's a safe bet you'll save money during the safe sale going on now at Norm's Lock and Safe on Florentine Road in Prescott Valley. Hurry in for best selection. All safes on sale now at Norm's Lock and Safe.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, have a lot of fun. Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, you know that since the best films of the year are saved for November and December to be fresh in Oscar voters' minds, the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is sure to stir up a lot of Oscar nominations. Well, in China, they're having some trouble showing it because of the way Quentin Tarantino portrayed Bruce Lee, or cast Bruce Lee. It wasn't a very flattering portrayal. The actor who portrayed him, Mike Mo, makes Bruce Lee look like an egotistical poser or pretender who challenges Brad Pitt to a fight out in the parking lot and loses rather badly. So Bruce Lee's family went directly to the Chinese government that has a lot of sway, by the way, over American markets because there's a lot of money to be made among a billion people in China in the movie biz. So they have blocked the screening of Once Upon a Time in America in China unless Quentin Tarantino changes those scenes or edits them out, which make Bruce Lee look bad. He is saying no. In fact, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is being redistributed to about 1,000 theaters with 4 additional scenes, totaling 10 new minutes on screen. So that's his way of telling China what to do with their objection. And if you're a fan of the classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, mark your calendar for Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. First Congregational Church at Gurley and Larkin in Prescott will present an old-fashioned live radio play of It's a Wonderful Life, free admission, Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. And because the Arizona Coyotes are finally wrapping up that long East Coast road trip tonight in Buffalo, today in Buffalo, actually, no talk of a town, Chino Valley. So stay tuned for Ben Shapiro at 3, Coyotes hockey against Buffalo at 4. Join me back here tomorrow with my guests, local author and world traveler Dennis Royalty and Kathy Hahn from the PCA for Annapurna. That's Q&A Tuesday at 2, and I'll see you on the radio.
Been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Northern Arizona Vein Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, High Country Rec V Center, and David Snyder, CPA. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.